Well, I need to pray before I start. Heavenly Father, I thank you for that which you've given me to share with your people and those who are watching online, Father. And Lord, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your anointing to deliver that which you've placed in my heart early this morning. Father, give me the words to speak that will speak forth life, that will cause our hearts to be changed, to cause us to be more and more in the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to never forget that which you've done for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. I have a question. Where were you July 4th, 1776? Where were you December 6th, 1865? Everyone knows what July 4th, 1776 is. But do you know what December 6th, 1865 was? 1865, December 6th, was when the 13th Amendment was adopted to officially abolish slavery. But I want to read something to you, and then we're going to take a look at some things. Independence Day. That's what the world celebrated yesterday. Independence Day, July 4th. It commemorates the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. On July 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress declared that the 13 American colonies were no longer subject or subordinate to the monarch of Britain, King George III, and were now united, free, and independent states. And this nation, this country, was founded on the idea God created human beings to be free. The Declaration of Independence states that people are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, in order for this nation to be able to enjoy the 4th of July, to be able to enjoy that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, lives had to be given for you and I to experience that. And as I was reading the Declaration of Independence, the Lord began to minister to my heart. And the title of today's message is freedom. It's freedom. And the Lord gave me two words, but he said the title is freedom. And the reason I asked you that question at the beginning, where were you July 4th, 1776? Because that was declared Independence Day. But I asked you another question. When was your Independence Day? Because every one of us in this room and listening online has an Independence Day. We have a day in which we were given liberty. We were given freedom. And that Independence Day is more important than July 4th. Because if you never experience this Independence Day that I'm about ready to talk about, and that's the day that Jesus Christ came into your life, and Jesus came into your heart because you received your independence that day. But it's interesting because as I was looking at this, The two things the Lord had me look at was Independence Day and the Emancipation Proclamation. I'm like, Lord, what's the relationship here? He says the 13th Amendment was adopted to bring about freedom to the slaves. But yet, when we receive our independence in the Lord, we actually become a slave to God. We become slaves of God. And it's interesting, but that's not what I want to touch on. I want you to go to Galatians 5:1. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning that are very familiar with us, but the Lord said, I want you to remind my people, because sometimes we forget that we are free. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Jesus Christ has made you and I free. And he doesn't want us to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We're a new creation. He doesn't want us to go back to those old ways. But we're free. We have freedom because of what Jesus Christ did. Did Jesus Christ not make a sacrifice? Did Jesus Christ not suffer many things? The same as this country had to go through in order to obtain its freedom, we don't have to go through those things. We don't have to give our life. We don't have to shed our blood. We don't have to lose our loved ones, even though some of us have lost our loved ones as a result of wars. We don't have to do that to obtain our spiritual freedom. Jesus did that for you and I. He made us free. And if we believe what it says here in Galatians 5:1, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Say, that didn't make sense. I was in chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Is the Spirit of the living God in this place? Yes, there is. If you're here this morning and you need any type of freedom, you can obtain that freedom because the Spirit of the living God is in this place. The Spirit of the living God is in your home if you're watching online and you're a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian, because where the Lord is, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. We have an independence because of what Jesus Christ did. That word liberty there means, it was interesting. It says, living as we should not, hold on a second here. Living as we should, not as we please. Living as we should, but not as we please. Because our desires are not always in line with God's desires. And a lot of times our desires keep us in bondage to the freedom and liberty that God wants us to have in our Christian walk. Now, so we've established here that the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, what did Jesus say? Go to John 8:36. Does anyone know what that says? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, make you and I free? So when the enemy comes along and said, oh, you're in bondage to that. You're in bondage to this. You'll never get free of that. What is that? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because Jesus Christ has made us free. We can have whatever freedom we need in Jesus Christ because He already paid the price. He already did it. And what did He make us free from? What did He make us free from? Sin and death. Okay, go to Galatians. Go back to Galatians. Chapter 5. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Did you know you've been called to freedom? You've been called to freedom. You've been called to be free. But what's the purpose of being free? So you can use it for your own benefits and your own luxuries and your own purposes? That's not what it says here. Use not freedom or liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what? Love, serve one another. What is it Pastor Christine says all the time? Love never fails. It never fails. But Jesus paid a price so you and I can have freedom and we can have liberty so that we can what? Serve one another. Serve one another in love. That's what that freedom's about. That independence that you had, most of you can remember the day that you received your independence. I remember it like it was yesterday. You know why I remember it like it was yesterday? Because what caused me to receive my independence on that particular day in 1979 was I kept trying it my way and I kept failing. And all I simply did is I cried out and said, you know what, Lord? I don't even know whether you're real or not. I've had people tell me that you're real, but I don't know that. But if you're real, you need to change and show me and reveal yourself to me. And He did. He did. But I also found out that my way doesn't work. But His way does work. The word flesh air denotes mere human nature, the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. That's what the flesh is. It's opposed to God. It's opposed to divine influence. It wants to do our way. Now, the United States of America received its freedom, received its independence. But is it still struggling in wanting to do it government way, God's way? I mean, government way, people's way, instead of God's way? It does. But it's not going to work. Now that we all know this passage of Scripture, if I say the verse, someone can just go ahead and tell me what the first part of the Scripture is. Isaiah 61:1. Does anyone know the first part? Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Were you captive? What were we captive to? We were captive to sin. It says, to proclaim liberty to the captives. We needed to be set free. We needed an Independence Day in our life. But here's the one. Here's the word, and I've read this many times, but this word jumped out at me. So I looked it up. Opening of the prison to them that are bound. You know what that word prison means? Opening the eyes wide open. Opening the ears. Isn't that what you and I needed before we could receive our spiritual independence? We needed to have our spiritual eyes open and our spiritual ears open so we could see what the Spirit of the living God was trying to show us, and open our spiritual ears so we could hear what God was speaking to our hearts. Because we know according to God's word, man thinks he's right in his own ways. But he's not. We fail. We mess up. So we had to have our spiritual eyes made wide open, and we had to have our spiritual ears open to hear what God was speaking to us at that particular time. Now, we know that this passage of Scripture occurs here in Isaiah, but turn over to Luke. It's said again. Starting in chapter 4. Now, Jesus is teaching here in Nazareth. But this is what he says in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Because of your independence, do you think that God has set the stage for that independence in our lives in the time in which we're living right now? Does not the world need to know that they can have their broken hearts mended? Do they not need deliverance because they feel like they're captive? Are they not walking in blindness, trying to figure out what am I going to do, where am I going to go, how this is going to work out? And do they not need to be free and have freedom? And you and I are the ones that God wants to use to preach that freedom and that liberty to those who are in prison. Why? So that they can have their eyes open, so they can have their ears open to know the truth. Because the God of this world is still lying. Still lying to them. Put your trust in people. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in government. People and government can fail us. They have and they will, and they will continue to do such things. But let me ask you a question. Has God ever failed you? No. God never fails. God's the only one that says what he says and then does what he says. He never breaks covenant. We break covenant. He never breaks covenant. God is always faithful. Go to Psalm 119, please. And go to verse 45. It says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Very, very important scripture here. One of the translations, it says, "I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts." You know, we can have our spiritual independence, but in order to stay spiritually independent and to walk out in that freedom, what does it say we have to do? We have to seek out the precepts of God. What are the precepts of God? His Word. That's why we have to study and to stay in God's Word, because that's what keeps us free. Because we're going to get bombarded every day, brothers and sisters. As Pastor Mark said, you know when the wiles of the devil are going to pass away? When he gets wrapped up and he gets destroyed. But as long as we have breath, and until that day happens, there's going to be an enemy that wants to bring you down and bring me down. Okay? But if we know what God's Word says and we seek out His precepts, it will allow us to continue to walk in the freedom that Jesus provided for you and I. Not some of the time, all the time. "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." And look what it says in verse 46. "And I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed." The testimony, the things that God has done in your life and my life. Pastor Bill used to say, one thing no one can ever argue with you about is the testimony that God has done and the things that God has done in your life. They can't argue that. They can argue Scripture. They can argue precepts, they can argue the Word of God. They can say, "Well, I don't believe that." They cannot ever argue what God has done in your life or what God has done in my life. They can never deny the freedom that you have and have obtained on your Independence Day with Jesus Christ. And that's powerful because most people, before you get your independence in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, people that knew you begin to see a change. They can't argue with that change because they're going, "Wait a second, that's not the Ruth I knew. That's not the Randy I knew." Because they're able to see that change. They're able to see that you're now free in those areas that you were in prison to, that those areas that you were in bondage to, those areas that you used to tear you down and pull you down. You're now free in them. You've been declared, and you have your own 4th of July day, even though you weren't born in 1776. Every one of us has an Independence Day. Go to 1 Peter, please. This is pretty appropriate for today. 1 Peter 2:13. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for the cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Submit yourselves to every ordinance. How many of you like wearing this? Okay? Submit to every ordinance. That's an ordinance that's been declared by the governor, and those are in charge over us. So guess what? We have to submit ourselves. Okay? For every ordinance of man, for whose sake? For the Lord's sake. Because you know what? That's a witness. People know you if you're a Christian or not. And if you're showing signs of rebellion, they're going, what kind of Christian is that? You know? So, we wear the mask. Okay? And it's not only for the Lord's sake, but it's for the sake of the other people around you, for their health and safety. So independence isn't always fun. Independence isn't always easy. There are sacrifices that have to be made in order to obtain freedom. Go to Arlington. You'll see row after row after row of men and women that gave their lives so that we might be free. I always wondered how big of a cemetery would be for the martyrs of Jesus Christ. For those who have gone before us that paid the price so that you and I can be free. I know Pastor Bill and Elnora, they took a lot of arrows. I know Mark and Christine have taken a lot of arrows. Well, I know. Elnora says, that's all right. See, they understand the price of freedom. They understand that freedom is important, and they didn't care. They didn't care. They were going to continue to preach the gospel no matter what it costs so you and I can be free and those that they would come across their path could be free. And if you talk to any veteran of any of the wars, they'll say the same thing. I'd do it again. I'd do it again for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And the god of this world, which is Satan, is trying to rob that freedom in this country. He's trying to rob that freedom. But you know what? The god of this world, politicians, all those people are trying to rob the freedom that we enjoy in this country. But there's one thing they all forget that's not on any of the news channels, that's not on the TV. They all forget one thing. Jesus Christ is still Lord, and Jesus Christ is still on the throne, and God is still on the throne, and God has a plan and a purpose for this country. Amen. And you know what? They can do and say all they want. But what it's causing a group of born-again believers to rise up and to pray and to intercede on behalf of this country for the freedom that we enjoy, and God is going to show up. I don't know, maybe one more time? I don't know. But God will show up. God will show up. Why? Because this country, as I read at the beginning, the Declaration of Independence states that people are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This country was established under godly principles. Now, we can turn and we can walk away from those godly principles, But I believe that God is raising up a people that's saying enough is enough is enough. And it's not going to be restored with protesting. It's not going to be restored with signs. It's going to be restored on our knees as we cry out to God, and God hears us, and He says, let me go to it. Thank you. In Chronicles, it says, by my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. You know, God hears that prayer. And there is that prayer is going up throughout the world, throughout the United States. God is having a people that are humbling themselves. And throughout this period of time that we've gone through, God is causing each and every one of us to reassess, to reexamine where we are with Jesus Christ. Do we appreciate the freedom that we've been given in Jesus Christ? We all have to ask ourselves that question. I know people I've talked to, both saved and unsaved, COVID-19 has caused them to reprioritize their lives. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, because when we self-examine ourselves before the Lord, we find out that we do a lot of things that are just a waste of time, and we call it the Lord's work. It's not. It looks good. Most of the time, it works. Jesus never wasted time. Jesus was very efficient with time. Now, go to Romans chapter 8, please. Clock seems like it's going slow. It's okay. Romans 8. I'm going to start in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. See, we are now free from the law of sin and death. We've been made free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, because of what Jesus did, we don't have condemnation. We don't have condemnation anymore. And I remember, you know, people sometimes get confused with the law of sin and death and the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a real simple explanation. The law of sin and death is like gravity. If I take these keys and throw them up in the air, they fall to the ground. Why do they fall to the ground? Because the law of gravity pulls it down. That's what the law of sin and death is trying to do. The law of sin and death is trying to pull you and me down. But there is a higher law in the world called the law of lift. You take a big airplane. We just on the news, just was it yesterday or Friday? I don't remember. It showed Air Force One with the President of the United States flying over the monuments. That's a big, big plane. Did gravity have any power over that plane? No, because there's a higher power. There's a higher power called the law of lift. That's what the higher power is, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus will lift you up above the law of sin and death. That's what happened when that Air Force One took off. They adjust those wings in a certain way and it begins to soar. And when it begins to soar, what does it do? It rises above that which is below it. What happens to an eagle in the midst of a storm? All it does, thank you, all it does is spread out its wings. And it allows the storm to lift it above, so at some point, that eagle is above the storm looking down. And Jesus is saying, because of my freedom, because of that which I've done on that cross, because of that which I took upon my body in obedience to my Heavenly Father, you no longer have to be in the storm or being pulled down by the storm. If you just lift your arms up, I'll lift you above the storm. That's a tremendous freedom. And here's the other thing about it. Did you do anything in 1776 to obtain the freedom that we have in the United States of America? No, none. Absolutely none. You didn't shed your blood. You didn't shed your life. You didn't give your life. And it's the same thing with Jesus. We are able to enjoy the freedom in the Spirit that Jesus Christ has provided because of what He did. Nothing that you did, nothing that I said, nothing that I acted out, it was because of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that caused us to rise above every situation and circumstance that comes in our life. Where was I at? Oh, 1 Peter. No, I already read that. Romans chapter 6. Verse 22. Because of that freedom that Jesus has provided for us, this is what he says in verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and an everlasting life. The word servant there means a slave of God. We become a slave of God. Now, there's a lot of things that's wrong about slavery. But I'm going to tell you something. Being a slave of God, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being a slave of God. Because slaves were known in 1865 as what? To their masters. They were servants. That's what a slave was. A slave was a servant. In the spiritual realm, what greater thing we can do than to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will we ever go wrong being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. And by becoming a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, does it give us an opportunity to show those who may not know Him that privilege and that freedom of being a servant? See, those people in the world they don't understand being a servant. Everyone's trying to climb the ladder. Everyone's pushing this one aside. Everyone's pushing that one aside. Everyone's wanting to, you know. Now, I can't stand here before you because I've been there and I still have things in my heart that the Lord is dealing with because they're not pleasing to Him. But they're all self-centered. They're all self-centered. And you know what? God's not pleased with that because He wants us to be a servant. Who did He say the greatest in the kingdom is? What was He showing His disciples when He washed their feet? He was showing them how to be a servant, how to submit. Even they didn't understand it. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing washing my feet? He was setting an example of what it was like to be a servant. I wrote down, set free from sin, and we have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. That's a pretty good promise. That's a pretty good thing for being free, for what Jesus has done. Now, go over to James chapter 1. I can get my pages unstuck. James chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So apparently we can deceive our own selves, can't we? You ever deceived your own selves? "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Ah, I like this word. Remember I did a teaching one time on the word "but"? And the word "but," if we use the word "but" negates whatever was said before it. So if you go, "Well, you know, I'm really trying, but..." No, you're not really trying because you just negated it when you said "but." Okay? But it says here, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of freedom or liberty and continueth therein, he being not a" what? "A forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Who looketh into the perfect law," who sees what liberty is really about. Who sees what the liberty that Jesus Christ has provided for you and me, when we really see that, and we continue seeing that, guess what happens to our ears? All of a sudden we can hear better. Because he says, "And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." Because that which we begin to hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to us, not only do we hear it, we begin to do it. We begin to operate in that which God is speaking to us. And he says, because of that, you, man or woman, shall be blessed in his deed. God will begin to bless us because Not only are we enjoying the freedom that he's provided for us, but we're now beginning to do that which he's speaking to our ears and our hearts to do. Go to Acts, please. Acts chapter 13. Okay, I'm going to start in chapter 13 of Acts, and I want to go to verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believeth are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. See, we are made free and we are able to have that freedom because of what Jesus did. Not because of the laws of Moses, not because of the Old Testament covenant. It's only because of what Jesus. Jesus had to die, Jesus had to be buried, and Jesus had to rise again for you and I to enjoy spiritual freedom. There was no other way. None whatsoever. There never has been, there never will. There's only one blood of Jesus that cleanses us. I was reading over the weekend this book about martyrs. It happened to be women martyrs. And there was this lady who was, she ended up living, but the stories she tells were absolutely horrifying. But there was only one thing that kept her alive throughout this whole ordeal. And she kept saying it as often as she could to her persecutors. There's power in the blood of Jesus. That's what she kept saying. There's power. And every time she said it, it would cause them to get agitated and get angry. And she would get slapped and she would get hit by machetes. And she saw her son killed. She saw her mother-in-law killed. She saw friends' bodies chopped up in front of her. But all she could say was, there's power in the blood of Jesus. And as I was reading that, and then I started preparing for this lesson, I go, the power that's in the blood of Jesus is what allows you and me to be free. That blood that was shed on Calvary gave you and me freedom, gave us our independence to be restored and reconciled back to the Father. There's so much power in that blood. So much power. We can't even imagine what Jesus went through. We see pictures of the crucifixion. They try to make it real. There's probably only one movie that even came close to it. And there was a lot of people who couldn't watch that movie. I can't even remember the name of it. What was it? Yeah, The Passion of Christ. Because it's obvious why the earth became dark for a certain period of time. It was too gruesome for men and women of this world to look upon. And yeah, I remember going to Arlington and seeing all those rows of soldiers that have given their lives. I can't even imagine the things they had to go through, the things they saw during wartime. But then you start to think and ponder on what Jesus did. He did it so that you and I could be free to worship, to be free to praise Him, to be free to proclaim and preach the good news to those with a broken heart, those that are in prison, those who are without hope. He did that so that you and I could have our own Independence Day. What a loving God. What a loving God. Now, I want you to go over to Revelation chapter 1. And I want to read verses 5 to 6. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." It says in verse 5, he loved us. There might be some here this morning, there might be some listening over the internet. You don't know if anyone loves you. God loves you. God has never stopped loving you. And how do I know He loves you? Because it says right here, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own." He loved you and I so much that he allowed a sword to pierce his side, to allow that blood to flow on Calvary. I remember Pastor Bill sharing one time. He said, I think he wrote a song on it too. God loved you so much that when they were picking out the wood that they would use for his cross, he saw you. He saw me. Stop and think about that. Hadn't even put the cross, hadn't even made the cross yet. Probably a tree standing there. God the Father says, "You know what? I made that tree. I made that tree. But that tree is going to be allowed and be made to use for Karen's freedom, for Rochelle's freedom, for my freedom. Because my son, my only begotten son, is going to be nailed to that tree. And then, the amount of love that God has, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Just stop a second and think about that. They've beaten you. They've whipped you. They've taken a crown of thorns and put it on top of your head and blood just running down your forehead and on your cheeks and down your face. And you feel every lash of that whip as it rips off skin. And you got blood running down your back. People say, well, it was the Son of God. He could take it. Let me ask you a question. If you believe that, why at some point on the walk to Golgotha did a soldier have to take over carrying that cross? Because it got to Jesus too. It got to Jesus too. But you know what? He knew he was going to finish the rest of that walk to that cross. Because he saw each and every one of us. And this is interesting because, let me go to it. It's not in my notes, but I'm going to be obedient. Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, what happened when he got to that point? What happened? And why was he able to continue? Because it says it right here. Who for the joy that was set before him. He was not looking at the cross. He was looking beyond the cross. And he was looking at the joy that he was going to experience when he was seated at the right hand of the Father. Wow. The joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to right. He was seen being reunited with his Father and sitting at his Father's right hand. That's what allowed him to endure that cross. That's what allowed him to give you and I the freedom that we didn't deserve. Why? Because he was motivated by love. He was motivated by love. Go to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. The word quickened there means made alive. You and I are alive spiritually. Verse 2. Wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We know who that is. That's Satan. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, here we go again. The word but just eliminated everything that was said before it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Here's that word love again. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his loving kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Verse 7 is what caught my attention. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We may never know how much God really loved us and what God really went through and what he allowed his son Jesus to go through for you and I experience our independence until we meet Jesus face to face. But it's because of God's grace and because of God's mercy that we're able to experience our own Independence Day. Our own Independence Day. And the Lord had me write down some things here. But before I read them, do you know that you know that you know that Jesus made you free? That wasn't a very loud amen. That wasn't a very convincing amen. Amen. He's made you free and he's made me free because of what he did on the cross and what he did to defeat the enemy. He gave us liberty. He gave us freedom that we weren't entitled to, but we have it because of Jesus. Now then, are you free of guilt? Are you free of condemnation? Are you free of anger? Are you free of bitterness? Are you free of worry and anxiety? Are you free of the pressure of seeking others' approval? Are you free of greed? Are you free of lust? Are you free of selfishness? Are you free of resentment? Are you free of unforgiveness? Yes, we are. We're free of all those things. We may be still struggling with some of those areas, and that's just a small list. You could probably add to that list. But Jesus has given us the freedom to be free of every one of those things, and even things I didn't list. He's made us free. Why did he do it? Because he loved us. He loved us. Were we worthy to obtain that freedom? No, we weren't. Did we have to do anything? Did we have to pay our price? Did we have to pay money? Did we have to give up something to obtain that freedom? It was a free gift from God. See, I always go back to a book that Pastor Bill gave me a long time ago, Covenant Relationships. I always go back to that book. Because you know what the first chapter of that book was? God's whole purpose of creating you and I was so that he could have a relationship with you and I. See, that's what gets lost in the preaching to the unsaved. That's where religion comes in. Well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that. God the Father wants to have a relationship with his creation. He wants to be able to communicate with you and I on a day-to-day basis. He wants us to talk to him. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to be quiet. His whole purpose, that's the whole purpose of a covenant, was so that he could have a relationship with you and I. But that's been watered down. People don't believe that anymore. Well, that's what makes Christianity, you realize that's what makes Christianity different? Show me Hare Krishna. Show me Buddha. You can name all the Jehovah's Witnesses. You can show me all those religions. The people who founded those religions are dead. The people who founded those religions are still in the grave. You can never have a relationship with any of those people. But you can have freedom and a relationship with Jesus Christ because He set you and I free. He gave us freedom. He gave us freedom so that we could have a relationship. God the Father. See, when you begin to understand who God the Father is, something changes in your heart. Because God the Father loves you in spite of who you are. God the Father loves you in spite of what you've done. Thank God. He doesn't judge us on our outward appearances. He doesn't judge us on all the things that we've done. And we can make a list of those too. Because when God the Father sees you and I at our worst state, this is what He sees. Forget the lines. He sees a blank page. Doesn't see anything. Why? Because what He sees is the blood of Jesus has wiped away every one of those sins. Every one of those sins have been wiped away. So what does He see? He sees a blank page. Now, there's a freedom that God wants to impart to everyone here this morning, those listening over the internet. And I'm going to ask Guy and Christine, if you don't have your dancing shoes on, you will shortly. Because the Lord told me to play this song when I got done, and then I'm going to pray. And we're going to play the song Freedom. Times Square Church sings. You can stand up, you can sing it, you can lift your hands, you can praise, and you can worship. Whenever you're ready, Guy.
Free us again to lift holy hands to a holy God.
Hallelujah.
And to thank You for all that You are and all that You've done. For the privilege of worship. It is our privilege, God, to bless You today. Hallelujah. I want to clap a little louder than before. I want to sing a little louder than before. I want to jump a little higher than before. Right here you can shout to the Lord. Come on, if you're free, just sing it.
Freedom.
Free us today, Jesus.
Freedom.
Father, we want freedom.
Freedom.
He who the sun sets free is free indeed.
Freedom.
Freedom. shall prosper. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone that arises, the Lord shall condemn. For greater is he that is in me than in the world. Yeah. Lift your hands and shout. I'm free to live my life.
Are you free? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for having set us free, Father. Father, we don't want to go back into bondage regarding any aspect of our life. Lord, I just believe that there's a freedom that you're wanting to establish in the lives and hearts of your people, Father. Father, we thank you for knowing that we've been made free. We've been delivered of all sickness and all disease and every plague that should come upon us, Father. You've delivered us from us, Father. And we're in a time and a period, Father, when there are many things happening in the world, Father. We thank you for your divine protection. We thank you for watching over and keeping us, Father. Father, just cause your people to be free. Cause us to understand that which you already done for us, Father. Allow us to reach out and to grasp hold of the fact that we are free. We are free, and everything has to fall that is not of your will and of your plans and your purposes, Father. Let us not hold on to those things that would weigh us down. Let us not hold on to those things that would draw us down and rob us of that which you have intended for us to have. And we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.